How do we nurture creative, connected, resilient, emotionally intelligent, and empowered children? And they say it takes a village. So if you're feeling overwhelmed by the responsibility, you're not alone. I believe we can change the narrative for our children, but to do that, we need to change our story. I'm Kim Clyden, former ABC radio presenter and children's book author, creating a community of people who care about children. What would our cities look like if we could reimagine how they nourish communities? Today, we're taking you from farm to rooftop. Beginning in the rich farming soils of southwest Victoria, in the Otways, where mixed farming enterprises raised beef and dairy cattle, grew vegetables and exported seed potatoes to the world. But this isn't just a story about agriculture, it's a story about perspective. Clint McRae's, in fact. He left school to complete his apprenticeship on the family farm that I just mentioned. After that, he broadened his horizons, travelling the world before spending four formative years living in America. An exposure to different cultures, different systems, different ways of producing food, and what he learned shaped the future he's now building. Clint is the co-founder of Urban Grounding, a company transforming rooftops and courtyards into thriving micro-farms that restore biodiversity, grow food, and help cities become more accountable and regenerative. Hello, Clint. It sounds like you've experienced more culture than most people as a young man. What did that exposure teach you about farming systems and the way different societies approach food, land, and responsibility?
I opened up my mind to agriculture quite a lot over there. I was working on market gardening farms. I was working on broadacre farms, big harvesting sort of operations, and then come back home and did a few sort of managerial sort of jobs on different farms. But eventually I sort of wanted to come back in on the farm, but I was one of four sons in my family. And I think it was about 2001, my father passed away. And we decided it was a bit tricky. There's a lot of financial issues and stuff on the farm. So we decided to sell. So just to sort of set mum up, you know, financially. Yeah, which was, in hindsight, was a big mistake. You know, like we should have kept the farm because now it's in trees. It's, it's not a viable farm anymore. So that was a bit of a big mistake, I suppose, at the time. But you make these decisions quickly. There was no transition, I suppose, in place with my family who was going to take over the farm. So we had to quickly make a decision. So we got rid of it.
Succession is a huge issue for many farming families. Yeah. So how do you think your experience growing up in the Otways really shaped who you are today?
I'm very grounded and very connected to the earth. I love it. And I suppose in recent years, I've really been reflecting on a lot of that, and I've delved deep into regenerative farming. And that's where I'm sort of heading at the moment with a lot of the businesses we've got in place. It was a really good baseline, I suppose, which set me up. And it's a real connection to food, connection to earth. And I can see, I live in Brisbane, and people don't have that connection to their food, where it comes from. You know, they don't have connection to soils or nature at all. So, you know, that's been awesome, I suppose, to come from that background.
It's funny, this thing about connection, especially to food, and how we've lost connection with the farmers. I was exposed in regional areas of Queensland to a lot of farming families. So I feel like I've always been connected in that way. What do you think we can do to reignite that connection, especially for future generations who are going to need that connection?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, what I do at the moment, I love doing it. It's a great connection. I do a lot of stuff on LinkedIn. I post about a lot of my experiences and different things that, you know, soil connection to nature. Yeah, it's just basically a lot of experiences that I've had, like mainly around education and getting people reconnected and where their food comes from. That's my big focus. And, you know, we're evolving into some more businesses that are around urban agriculture in Brisbane and eventually all around Australia. So that's, I'm really passionate about that sort of stuff, you know, like where our food comes from.
The Urban Grounding Initiative, which you've co-founded, is really something that I've been thinking about for decades working within the agricultural sector, telling stories, because I believe cities are the key. If we can tap into that population and help them understand what it takes to grow our food, they may actually feel more connection to our farmers who provide 80-90% of what we both eat and wear in this country. So where would you like to see these types of gardens in cities?
We don't really want to take away from the ag industry. It's not our thing, you know, like that has a big purpose in Australian food and fibre industry. Like, it's more about education and awareness, you know, where their food comes from, connection to food, healthy food. Like, there's so much unhealthy food. When we were growing potatoes, it wasn't great, you know, like we had to grow a certain size potato. So we had to spray those fields with Roundup to cut off the size, I think it was up to 250 grams. So, you know, we're all consuming those chemicals in our, you know, through those potatoes. And people don't know that. Like, they just think, oh, we're eating vegetables, it's okay. But they're full of, you know, Roundup and all other pesticides and chemicals and superphosphate. So it's really about educating people. We're connecting with a aged care facility. With that sector, it's really good because we're not necessarily educating that sector, but a lot of those older people, they have that wisdom. You know, they've probably had vegetable gardens, you know, connection back to food, back to soil. So, yeah, I mean, it's as I said, it's mainly around education. It's where their food comes from.
Yeah, so cities are concrete jungles, though. I mean, where do you plan on utilising space to grow this food to educate people back into it?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, there's so many spaces in the city, you know, rooftops that can be utilised. I mean, a big thing too these days, my business partner Audrey, she's a sustainability consultant, so she works with a lot of property developers, and they have to meet requirements around ESG. So a lot of their buildings, they have to incorporate nature. So you go into the city these days and you see a lot of green infrastructure like trees and green walls. So what we want to bring into that is a food aspect of it. You know, like, they can be connected to a food, you know, they can grow food on their rooftops. So it's not just a ornamental plant that they look at. It's something they can, it's a tangible thing they can go and pick and they can eat, you know, see where food comes from. Because people don't know where food comes from. They just think it comes from the supermarket.
Which is sad, really. I've often wondered why councils don't, instead of planting trees that require watering, planting foods, native foods even, or, you know, citrus or foods that, healthy foods along those verges and all across our communities.
Oh, we've got great visions, you know, like, we want to eventually get into councils and, you know, have that sort of aspect of it, so people can access food. We want to employ a lot of people who tend to these gardens from start to finish. You know, they install them, they nurture them, they harvest them. You know, we can give that food out to charity, whatever charities there is available in certain cities. We do have a, you know, we've got big goals ahead of us, and I think there's a big opportunity, and it's quite exciting, actually.
Why do you think it's so important for this to happen, particularly in urban spaces?
Yeah, I mean, the main thing is I feel we're disconnected from our food. I really do. And there's just so many spaces, you know, you go for walks around the cities and you think, look at that space there. We could be growing some tomatoes there. We can be growing some lettuce there. You know, like, people can get in there and touch it and feel it and go, wow, look at that. That's a vegetable growing.
Yeah. Well, it's oxygen as well. There's carbon sequestration. Crikey. All these environmental benefits. And then the human health benefits, which is something that I was really intrigued by. You were talking about getting into hospitals and you mentioned aged care earlier. So, you know, that is really where health should be, front line, and growing their own food freshly, where they can pick even 5% or 1% of it to go to the kitchens, makes a big difference.
Yeah, look, we're targeting so many sectors. So, you know, one of the big ones we're targeting is schools and childcare centres, you know, getting in that early age, you know, education of young children, where their food comes from, get their hands in the soil, I'm actually a grandfather, believe it or not. Look how young I am. yeah, we got a 2-year-old granddaughter. So our oldest son's 25 and then next oldest son is 17. So we've brainwashed them with how to grow food. So a 25-year-old is just into his first home, and so we're educating him on how to grow his own food, and, you know, it's passing on the baton.
It definitely is. I mean, as I mentioned, my daughter's on farm with her husband, but I have 3 grandchildren who are 12, 11 and 10, and they've grown up, you know, helping with everything they have to do with the cattle, as you would have. That's probably the best connection to food you can have. I can't imagine how many children out there must wonder where the meat comes from. There was a study done by someone in Melbourne who worked for a marketing company, and they were showing a cohort of children who they were testing this yogurt label, and it had a cow on it. And one of the children said, "Why is there a cow on the yogurt label?" And she was like, "Because that's where yogurt comes from. It's made from milk, which comes," and they're like, no, milk comes from the supermarket. So exactly what you said, but this is 15 years ago, you know, that happened. And that was when she made a decision she was going to leave marketing and start a farm, and she wrote a book. So if people have been doing this for decades, right, people have been trying to educate children, to break into our like iron cast education systems, which are globally flawed, to make these changes, right, which are vital, crucial for our future as humanity on this planet. How do you think we can make a difference at this end? I mean, all of the research is showing this is what needs to happen. So what challenges are you facing trying to bring that about?
My wife, Audrey, she's worked in the education system, you know, on all levels, university, TAFE, high school, secondary. And it's just like, oh my God, she just bangs her head against the wall, you know, in the, you know, the primary and secondary. We're early days in this business. We're only 6 months in. So we're just knocking on the doors of some people, and they're just trying to, the light bulbs just starting to, you know, flash on. Our service, what we're offering, it's a pay per service. So, you know, we're tapping into a lot of property developers. There's a lot of money in that sector. So they can pay for this service. So we're not a non-for-profit or anything. So we're not, you know, trying to get funding to get this up and going. You know, a big thing with property developers, they want to get that tenant retention. You know, they want tenants to stay in their building. And then, you know, a lot of people have left the building after COVID. They want to come back to work because, you know, it's this concrete jungle. It's a horrible place to be. So we want people to come back into the city and be in a nice environment where they grow food. So that's a big thing we want to tap into. So, you know, we're early days, but, you know, I just think once we get into people's heads enough about this, they'll go, yes, okay, this needs to happen. You know, everyone we speak to, we get in front of, they go, this is really, really cool, really cool concept. And, you know, we really need this. So it's just about we're bootstrapping this business, and we've got a lot of belief in it, and we've got big plans for it, and it's quite exciting, actually. And so at the moment, we haven't really hit many hurdles with it, but we want to bring a lot of people on board to help with this journey and really, really get it happening.
Collaboration is the key, I think, to everything we need to achieve in the future, but particularly these are the days, I think, that we'll be judged on. And if we don't start making some changes soon in relation to what we teach our children moving forward, I'm not sure they're going to be able to manage some of the legacy we'll leave them in relation to the planetary tipping points that we've already gone over the threshold. Like, it just blows my mind why we aren't acting faster with more care, because these changes need to be happening now or yesterday, not tomorrow or next month or next year or next decade. You grew up with connection to food, right? So how different has it been for you within a city environment? Is that disconnection for you real as well?
No, not at all. We move quite a lot. We buy houses, and every time we move, every couple of years, we dig up the backyard and put a veggie garden in. You know, it's still put our hands in the soil. And anyone that comes around, you know, visits for a dinner party, it's like they're walking out the door with some tomatoes, some lettuce and stuff. We're just trying to, you know, we're still amongst it, you know. And I've got a lot of family and friends and stuff still in the ag sector. So we're still on a lot of those properties. And, we're still definitely connected to it and not disconnected at all. It's just in my veins, the ag sector really is. I love it.
What have you learnt through moving into the urban space, having a background in a rural environment?
Yeah, I mean, it's composting is a big thing, you know, like try and save all your food scraps and, you know, composting so you're creating soil. That's a big thing. Yeah. I mean, I love it. It's a challenge, I suppose. You live in an urban environment, you know, you have grass clippings, you have, you know, tree clippings, you're trying to create carbon, you're trying to create nitrogen, you're trying to create all these bits and pieces to create soil. And I love it. It's just a little challenge, I suppose. Sometimes you've got to go to the devil and go to Bunnings and buy a bag of dynamic lifter or something like that to help it along.
Yeah, a little bit of rooster booster never goes astray. At least that's based in natural products. I don't really do fertilizer. Yeah. On our farm, we have composting bins. We also have worm farms. And we try to, like, all of the hay waste and that's mixed with manure and urine from our animals goes back onto the gardens as composted material as well. So it's a circular system. Is that the sort of thing you're hoping to implement in association with these food gardens? I mean, do they have to consider having composted material and maybe worm farms as well? Are you doing a full systems integration?
We're trying to, but it's sort of hard, you know. If you're working on a rooftop, you know, you've got to bring in a lot of stuff. But, yeah, definitely composting, you know, tapping into the tenants in the building and some of their waste to utilise some of that. I mean, one of the things we are looking into is a lot of biodiversity. So incorporating beehives, native bees, that's a big thing. That's we really want to tap into that. So, but yeah, I mean, it's hard. You know, you're in a concrete jungle, so you haven't got a lot to utilise. So you have to bring in a lot of those implements.
Yeah, I suppose concessions have to be made if you're going to make it work. Honestly, I applaud your endeavours. I can't wait to hear how this goes. So please stay in touch with me and maybe we can catch up on one of your first implementations of this urban grounding system.
Thanks, Kim. I appreciate it.
Clint McRae, co-founder of Urban Grounding. When we talk about shaping a kinder, more conscious future for our children, conversations like that one matter. It's a practical, viable, measurable vision for the future. Food grown on rooftops, biodiversity restored in courtyards, produce shared with food charities, buildings becoming ecosystems. Urban grounding isn't just greening cities, it's redefining accountability. And perhaps the greatest lesson from that, our children are watching how we respond to environmental challenges. They're learning whether we blame systems or build better ones. Like this episode? Please share it. We'd love to grow this community of people who care about the future for our planet and our children. Because conversations we amplify today shape the world our children inherit tomorrow. I'm Kim Clyden, looking forward to next week. Until then, be the change you want to see in the world.